Okay, you can scroll back up. The bear is similar to the Mormon, the bear believes to Elohim Mormon, who shall start Yom HaChodesh, Hashibi E Hazeh, Chag HaSukkos, Shiv'a Asimim LaHashem. Beyom Yishon Migra Kodesh, Kamelechas Tavada Lo Sasu, Shiv'a Asimim Takrivu Isha LaHashem. Beyom Hashim in Imi Kodesh, Yalachem, Migra Temi Isha LaHashem, Atzeres Hi, Kamelechas Tavada Lo Sasu. Ilan Ode Hashem, Shai Tikiru, Samma Migra Kodesh, Takiv Isha LaHashem, Ola Minchot, Zevach, Unsochim, Devar Yom Yomo. Nivad, Shabbosos Hashem, Nivad, Matanos Eichem, Nivad, Kunid Eichem, Nivad, Kunid Vos Eichem, Asherni, Shartit and New Lashem. Ach, Bahamisha, Osar Yom, Achodesh Hashemi, Boos Bechem, Eskilu As for Oretz, Tahogu as Chag Hashem, Shiv As Yomim, Beyom Rishon Shabboson, Beyom Shemini Shabboson. Ukartam Lotcham, Beyom Rishon, 3/8 Hadar, Kapost to Marim, Banach 8 of Ost.
Okay, so Levi, what's the central problem in terms of the text?
Why does it talk about Sukkot, then sum it up as if it's done talking about the Chagim, and then talk about Sukkot again?
That's outstanding. So how do you, what's your initial response to that?
Maybe because Sukkot is kind of I don't say split holiday, but there's clearly two different presentations in the before the Elam Odei Hashem and then after.
Good, but sharpen it. I mean, you're identifying the issue, but you're just restating the question.
Why did it split it up? Like I said, because there's multiple different themes within Sukkot.
Good, but say it sharper. Eitan?
So God almost has like two identities, like an agricultural one in the beginning, and then a sukkah-based one in the second half, after the summation in the middle.
Okay, so that's going to be very critical to our analysis, but if that were true, right, Eitan, then what's the problem? You identify the problem with your own approach. If the sukkah identity is introduced only after the summation,
then it shouldn't. Why does it call it Sukkot in the beginning?
Yeah, exactly. What's the Chag HaSukkot identity? Okay, so that's obviously a very, very important issue. But you're touching on, I think, part of the answer. Israel, go ahead.
I think it's split up a bit differently. It's more, the first part is about the karbanot that you make then, and then it sums up about all the karbanot, about all the holidays and karbanot that are listed before then. And then it's got both the lulav and the sukkah.
Okay, so that's, I think, even closer, but even you, Israel, are going to have to relate to the problem of the korbanos, right? Because if it's only about the korbanos, so then, what's this Chag HaSukkos that we don't even know about?
Well,
go ahead. Go ahead. I didn't follow your response to that. We don't even know about Sukkot yet, so how are we calling it Chag HaSukkos?
Just kind of identifying with the rest, but I don't know.
Right. It's a little bit of a challenge, right? No, but I think what you're saying is very, very important. Very important.
And the name, and then what you do for that holiday, and then what karbanot you do for that, and then also what makes it hot.
Okay, so I think that's basically correct, that the introduction before the summation is karbanos. And then after that, we have, I think, Israel, this is what you started to say, not just sukkah, but you pointed out the whole notion of dalad minim, which is completely missing from the first half, you know, is only after what we call that pivot point. Right, ach. So I think that's a very important idea. Rami, go ahead.
We also discussed last year that there are two aspects of sukkahs in the sense that one part of it is Chag LaHashem, the other part of it is Chag Lano.
Okay, good. So one of the ways of getting at that same idea has to do, and I think this is part of what was referenced with this dual identity, but at least let's get it onto the record, is that Sukkos obviously brings two different themes in terms of Mo'adim Uzmanim to their culmination. What am I referring to? And it's happened simultaneously, so you have to sort of tease out these different identities. Shimmy, go ahead.
It's Chag HaAsif. It's the final holiday in the agricultural cycle.
Excellent. So it brings both...
also the final holiday...
Shimmy, go ahead. You're just getting cut off a little bit, but you're saying it correctly. You are correct.
So I should repeat?
Yeah, so I think you were saying that it's the final of the Shalosh Regalim, right? It's the Chag HaAviv to the Chag HaKatzir to the Chag HaAsif. On the one hand, and there's all kinds of nafkamina for that in terms of nidarim. There's nafkamina for that in terms of hashava saveda, in terms of the chiyav hachraza. It's not incidental that it's the last of the regalim, and meidach gisa, it's the last of the chodesh hashvi'i cycle, right? Bachodesh hashvi'i hazeh. And that's a very, very important dual role that it plays. Okay? So... one of the things that we have to contend with when we deal with Chag HaSukkos is the fact that it's unique amongst the Mo'adim in terms of its relationship to the entire Tishrei phenomenon, beginning with, you know, as we talked about, Rosh Chodesh, L'chadsho shel Yom HaKippurim, on the one hand, and on the other hand, its identity as the Ma'asev in terms of the Shalosh Regalim. And we've argued in the past that part of that duality is reflected in the duality of the mitzvos of Dalad Minim and Sukkos and their different themes, but that should be noted in terms of the Psukim as well. So Israel has left us with a very, very important analysis that Chag HaSukkos, as an identifying feature, as such, may just be an introduction to the role of Korbanos. And then we have this break, you know, in terms of the summation, and then we return in terms of the particular mitzvos of this moed and this man. Now, that reading is very compelling, Israel, on your part, in situ, meaning in this location itself. But with respect to broader considerations, there's a serious question, which is that normally we would think about the korbanos as being reflected where, Israel? Shimmy again.
Pinchas.
Exactly. So right, all of the korbanos, all the musafin, are dealt with in Pinchas. So if Sukkos is introduced through its musafin, that would be a very unusual phenomenon. It would seem like a broader displacement from Parshas Pinchas. So these issues in terms of the Parshanut are very, very significant. And maybe, Israel, one of the responses to that would be that the Chag HaSukkos is uniquely defined by its departure from the paradigmatic korbanos. Go ahead, Israel, since you're the one who pointed this out. Chag HaSukkos stands out from all Moadim in terms of having a very bizarre structure of korbanos.
The sequence starting from 14 and going downward.
Right, so basically the Tishrei model is 117, right, plus the chatas. One par, one aisle, seven kvasim, plus the chatas. You have that on Rosh Hashanah, you have that Yom Kippurim, you have that on Shmini Atzeres. Let's call it, for lack of a better term, the Nisan model, which is really the Rosh Chodesh / Nisan model, is the 217 model, two parim, one aisle, seven kvasim, and Sirizim Echad L'chatas. And Sukkos departs from both of those models in a very fascinating way by doubling the number of Elim, by doubling the number of Kvasim, and having this sui generis phenomenon with the Parim. So maybe Chag HaSukkos really is defined by its special Korbanos. Ilan, and we've discussed many, many times in the past, So the Rav, remember, the Rav utilized that to explain which halacha?
That on Sukkot, challah every single day is d'oraisa, unlike on Pesach.
Exactly, because chalukin b'karban oseyen really means that there's like a singular kedushas hayom to each and every day. You can't really compare Chol HaMoed Sukkos to Chol HaMoed Pesach. It's a very different phenomenon. Remember, we've discussed that Chol HaMoed Pesach really carries all of the charisma of the first day of Yom Tov. It doesn't have its own identity. Hence, you know, the chova of Achilas Matzah on the first day, right? And then we talk about Shivas Yamim Tochlu Matzos as sort of carrying that identity forward. It doesn't have, you know, separate identities, and the Karban is really a reflection of that. So these are some of the very, very, very important Hayaros. So be that as it may, Israel makes a very substantial contribution to the beginning of our discussion by noting that the mitzvos, as we think of them, dehainu dalad minim, dehainu mitzvahs yeshivas besukkah, are backloaded further than we might have expected. They're waiting beyond the korbanos, and it's with that we jump into the broader discussion. Okay, so let's now, Avi, go ahead.
I think Noam is in the waiting room.
What's yeah, I couldn't figure out which Noam it was, because he appeared in multiple guises, but he's been readmitted, at least one of him, you know. Okay, so Levi, let's drive forward.
He shetivanu leishev esukah shivas yamim bimei achag hu amar yisbarach sukos yoshivu shivas yamim yichvar yisbarach mishutim yitzozav yitzach esukah v'in nashmichem esukah.
Okay. So there's a couple of really interesting things about this Rambam. This is Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvos. So it confirms Ezreal's reading that the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah is taken from the coda of these psukim, Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamim, observation number one. And then more subtly, Levi, go ahead, that in terms of the issue that I was pressing Ezreal on before, if it's really true that the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah is derived from the pasuk Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamim, then what?
Then why is it mentioned Chag Sukkos in the beginning?
Excellent. And how does the Rambam seem to deal with that?
He says it's not really Chag Sukkos, it's just Chag.
Yeah, so Leishev Basuk, excellent. Shivas Yamim Bimei HaChag. That there's like some independent identity, right? Hilchos Chag B'Chag, right? You know, Chazal just called the Chag. So the Rambam here is obviously trying to account for that. So if the makor is Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamim, so then this Chag HaSukkos before becomes increasingly incidental, and just calls it Bimei HaChag, the Chag that was, I guess, alluded to in the Mikra. And that's going to be a little bit in tension with how, you know, the Chachamim in the Mishnah and the Braisa that we're about to see, the famous Braisa in Chav Zayin, which will be really our point of discussion for these next 3 days, how they deal with the basic identity of Chag HaSukkos, Chag, what this Moed is all about. So apropos that point, let's take a look at the Mishnah.
But isn't he just calling it Chag because Chazal called Chag? When he talks about Shavuos, he calls it Atzeres, doesn't he?
Yeah, so he refers to it as Atzeres, but if you do the homework and you go through all the different formulations in the Rambam, so the Rambam doesn't only refer to it as Chag. Sometimes it's Chag HaSukkos, sometimes it's Chag HaAsif. It depends on the context. In the Minyan HaKatzar, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, depends, frankly, which mitzvah he's discussing. Chag HaSukkos is sometimes what he uses. So I think it's noteworthy, in any case, that in the context of specifically mitzvahs yeshiva besukkah, he just refers to it as Chag. If it was always the case that he refers to it as Chag, you would be correct. But there's some diversity there. Okay, so let's take a look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah is fundamental. Not the Makefa, but the Makpa.
Makpa. Mashal, Madhava Dome. The Evet Shaba Limzog Kos the Rabba Shofach Lo Kiton Panov.
Okay. So we have the famous Mashal, you know, sort of like a Kaddish Baruch Hu is rejecting our attempt to do the mitzvah. Misha Tisrach HaMakba is defined as what in Halacha? Just Levi, just to review.
I don't know.
Who remembers? Ilan, go ahead.
Soup would spoil.
Right, so the question is, what kind of tabshil is it? So Rashi says it's not ava and it's not raka. It's not something which is, you know, very, very porridge-like and thick. I guess that would, you know, take it like, you know, a torrential downpour. And it's not something, you know, where it's, you know, one, it's a French cuisine. It's some kind of like, you know, a very light crepe. So, you know, you see a drop and everybody starts running for their lives. So it's, you know, shosha kochavim beinonim, as they like to put it. Something over there in the middle. But be that as it may, leaving aside the seif of the Mishnah, so Levi, what is the ratio of the Mishnah getting at? This is highly important.
That during Sukkot, that the Sukkot is like a person's house.
Yeah. Exactly right. So a person apparently celebrates this holiday by transforming their place of residence. Right? And the idea is, you know, Sukkaso keva, beso arai. And that would appear to be a dindo raisa. Go ahead in the Gemara.
But
this Gemara is not in Chaf Zayin.
It's
on Chaf Ches. Oh, did I put Chaf Zayin? It's Chaf Zayin on the
base
to Chaf Ches.
No, it's Chaf Ches
on the base. Oh, so the Mishnah is Chaf Zayin. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, so I apologize.
Kol Shivas Tayamim Adam also Sukkah so keva vaso rai kate sad. How you located Naim Mal on the Sukkah, but Sos Naos Mal on the Sukkah, Ocha Vashos Sam Tile the Sukkah. Nahani Mili, the Tanabanan, Tishu Kain Tadu.
Okay, so let's hold it up right there. So what's the Bryce is suggesting on the Raisa level?
That you literally make your
sukkah
your house.
So the makor for the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah, again, Levi, just remind us, is what? No. By sukkos, yeah. Good. So by sukkos teshvu, so now we're taking that word, teshvu, which is the critical word about yeshiva b'sukkah, and we're saying teshvu ke'ein taduru. Mikan amru, so mikra umisna.
Mikra umisna bimatlauta. Betonui bar bimatlauta.
Okay, so, you know, tomorrow, the next day, we'll go be'iyun into that sugya, you know, trying to figure out what aspects of Limud HaTorah are inside the sukkah, what aspects of Limud HaTorah are outside of the sukkah. But this Gemara is, you know, vital. Because Levi, this Gemara is giving us, Basukos Teshvu Shivas Yamim, a fascinating definition of the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'sukkah. The mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, Levi, might even be defined, if you wanted to put it in less affirmative and more, for lack of a better term, negative terms, what would you say the Gemara really has in mind? What is the essence of teshvu ke'en taduru?
Don't make your sukkah like a hobby. Don't make it like a, like a clubhouse. Don't live in your house like it's your regular house.
The second one was much better. Eitan, go ahead. I want to hear your formulation.
I was going to say, don't make the sukkah into a diras arai.
In other words, yeah, the sukkah should be a diras keva, but the only way to really do that, Ilan, is what?
Comfortable living.
Good. But the Gemara doesn't just say, you know, make the sukkah beautiful. It doesn't say, zekeli v'anvehu, you know, make a sukkah, no, let's leave it at that. Ilan Goldstein, what's the sort of the sharper edge of this Gemara?
You should learn Torah in there.
The Torah is the most controversial part. Yehuda? You're muted.
Should
go ahead.
You beyond your normal house.
What's that?
You should take it beyond your normal house, make it above and beyond, more special.
A little more precise. Rami?
You have to, like, switch the rules.
Excellent. It's the you're degrading your house for the sake of creating a new house. Rami, give me the text. What text drew my attention to that? What text is dispositive? And then the elaboration of that is, how do you do that? So the Gemara says, Ketzah, what am I supposed to do? Start...
You bring all your kalim into your...
Right, do I have to start, physically destroying my house? You know, do I have to be a vandal? And the answer is, well, not entirely, but one depletes one's home, that's the beso arai for the sake of sukaso keva. So, really, there are two dinim in the Gemara. If you read it really carefully. So, Rami, you've gotten us to a very important place, point of strength. So now let's really hone in on it. If I were to tell you mitzvah teshiva besukkah, so the Gemara has two, it's overlapping, so you can easily miss it. But if you're reading it really carefully, what are the two dinim in the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah?
Creating your sukkah as an actual, like a beis ha'arai, but at the same time also degrading your house or depleting your
house. Okay, so let's consider that all part of one din, right? The sort of the establishment of a new diras keva, what we'll call teshvu ke'en taduru. The sukkah superseding your bias. And then what? So that's really a din in the sukkah. Ben Sion, go ahead. I didn't see you down there.
I would say one would be to bring the objects for your house. So that would be like the physical. That would be almost the chesed of the sukkah, while the gabra has to spend his time in the sukkah.
Outstanding, Ben Sion. Outstanding. That's exactly right. Right, and that's what we talk about. Ochel, v'yoshev, matayel, and maybe even learning to some extent. Interestingly, davening isn't on the list. That'll have to wait for the Rambam. So if we're reading the Gemara very carefully, which you're trying to figure out, you know, what is the essential aspect of mitzvahs yeshiva besukkah? And the Gemara is really dealing with both in an interlapping kind of a way. So what we'd be very interested to figure out, Ben Sion, is if there is any evidence in the Rishonim in terms of privileging one over the other. You know, sort of you put a gun to somebody's head and say, what's more important? You know, what the Gavra is doing in the Sukkah, the Ochel, Veshosel, Matayel, and maybe even Veshone. Or is it the creation of a new Diras Keva? That's the really interesting question. It's not obvious based on the Gemara if both are equally important, if one is more important. But clearly we're operating here at the Doraisa level. Basukos teshvu shivas yamim, kol ezrach v'Yisrael yeshu basukos teshvu kein taduru, the ketzad, the kelim noem, etc., etc. Avi, go ahead.
I would think we'd prioritize the gavra because we make the birkas hamitzvah when the gavra goes in and establishes his kaveya suda there. We don't make the birkas hamitzvah when we make the sukkah our new and greater home.
Okay, so that's very important. Okay, so Avi is saying, look, let's try to reconstruct this. Maybe we don't have direct evidence, but let's try to figure out, you know, kol hamitzvos mevarchin aleim over lasiyasan, right? That's a Gemara in Pesachim and Dav Zayin. So we spent some time with that last year in Brachos, so we're not going to ignore it, but we'll assume that we've covered a lot of it. So Avi is making a very, very helpful suggestion, as usual, and saying, oh, let's try to figure out the timing of the bracha. That'll probably tell us something about the nature of the mitzvah. That is true. That is true. But if I want it to be, you know, it's a lot in the news these days, every time there's a Supreme Court nominee, you know, we get to these questions of textualism. So if I want it to be like really, really, you know, strict in terms of the text, is there an argument to be made based on the text of the Gemara that maybe there's a counterintuitive phenomenon here? Maybe the Gavra's activity, which are there, I admit it, Ochel, Veshosa, Matayel, Shone, but what seems to be given a more dominant position? Shimmy?
It might be that the chepsa is more important to you because it says that first and in more detail.
Much more detail. It's almost like, you know, sort of as an afterthought, We have this Ochel Veshoso Metayel piece. But the explication of the Din D'Oraisa, Basukos Teshvu, Dehainu Teshvu Kein Taduru, Osa Sukaso, Keva, Ubeso Arai, Vechetzad, Kelim Noim, etc., etc., really seems to play in the direction of the mitzvah being accomplished by establishing a new dira. Taking a dira that's fundamentally a dira sarai and making it your dira skeva. I mean a dira sarai in the sense of its physical construction. You know, lamala me'esrim amma and all kinds of things like that. Okay, so what evidence do we have in the Rishonim? Well, I think there is evidence in the Rishonim. I think the evidence in the Rishonim is very striking. Levi, go ahead.
The Rambam says, Ketzad hi mitzvah seshiva b'sukkah.
So what is he alluding to with that question? That question is a very tantalizing question. The Rambam doesn't say that about every mitzvah. It doesn't say, Ketzad hi mitzvah shofar b'Rosh Hashanah. What's he trying to do, clearly?
Well, he's indicating that it's not clear.
I would agree, but I think that's almost sort of ikar chaser min haSefer. He's saying it's not clear because... Eitan?
I thought he was leaning more towards the actual gavra being the ikar.
Oh, so let's reserve judgment for just a second. But in terms of the lashon of the Rambam, is the Rambam Rami?
The reason it's unclear is because there are two aspects of the mitzvah.
I agree. I totally agree. But Ketzad hi mitzvah seshiva b'sukkah, the Rambam is doing what? Shimmy?
He's specifically asking about the yeshiva.
No doubt. But did the Rambam just sit down and start writing these words? You know, Ketzad hi mitzvah seshiva b'sukkah? It's right.
He's tipping his hand.
I agree, but why is what is he pointing to?
Is it like the Gemara?
Yes, not like. Thank you, David. He's quoting the Gemara. The Ketzad, in terms of the Teishu Kein Taduru, the Rambam is front loading. He's saying that's the Gemara. That's the money Gemara. That's the if you want to understand this holiday, that's the Gemara you really need to know. Ketzad, it's lifted straight out of the Gemara. Okay, Levi, go ahead. Okay, so Eitan, you were about to make the case, and I happen to agree with you. The Rambam did something fascinating. He took the Gemara, and then he did a little bit of surgery. So you were going to make the argument, which I agree with.
He seems to understand it more as a gavra driven mitzvah, where it's driven by the fact that you're doing stuff in the sukkah. I thought that was in the question also by the fact that he calls it ketzad hi mitzvah hayeshiva v'sukkah.
Right, yeshiva is a human activity. I agree. That's a very subtle point, but what comes at the very, very end, in terms of the Braisa, Ochel, Veshosel, Metayel, right? What does Rambam do with that?
He brings it to the front, to the forefront.
Exactly. So, you know, you never really appreciate the Rambam until you know exactly his source. That's why, you know, the Kesef Mishnah, and the Magid Mishnah, and the Lecha Mishnah, and the Mishnah Lamelech, and the Agos Maimonios, and the Ramach, and everybody else, you know, spent all that time trying to figure it out. You know, sometimes, in this case, it's really obvious what his source is. It's just tremendous appreciation for what the Rambam was trying to do. The Rambam clearly holds that there are two dinim in the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, there's the din of all of these human activities, and then there's the din of establishing the sukkah as your keva, qua your bias, which is arai. And again, it's very ironic because from an architectural point of view, it's just the opposite. But the Rambam felt the need to invert that. And Eitan, I'm in agreement with you that the subtle, subtle point here of Ketzad Himitzas HaYeshiva B'Sukkah is already, you know, a pretty good indication. So the Rambam definitely believes in Teshu, excuse me, Kein Taduru. He quotes it, obviously, right? Osa Adam is Beso Arai V'Sukaso Keva. That, I think, is really interesting also because it gets to my point. Just pause here for a second to see if anybody picked up on that inversion. Shimmy, again?
This time you put Beso Arai before Sukkah Keva. Well, the Gemara did the opposite.
Exactly, right? So the Rambam is highlighting the depletion of the home as necessary to establish Sukkah Keva. Very fascinating idea. Okay? Chol Shevas Yamim Osa Adam is Beso Arai Vesukkah Keva. That's the Basukos Teshu Shevas Yamim. He quotes a pasuk, it's a din d'oraisa. And then, you know, you do all the things that you need to do, assuming that the sukkah is able to accommodate it. Now, apropos Avi's point, which is obviously, you know, very, very critical to our analysis when you get to the bracha, is there any indication, and, you know, we're not up to Rabbeinu Tam yet, maybe you saw him in your hachana, but is there any indication from Shitas HaRambam that, let's say, there's anything special about achila? Ilan?
Not here, but maybe by Kiddush.
Okay, so here you get the impression that achila is just about as important as what?
Being dar there.
Anything else? Any other human activity in the sukkah? And in fairness, Ilan, if the Gemara that we're pointing to, if that's the makor, makes a lot of sense, right? There's no indication from the Gemara that there's something special about it. Okay? So, if this is, now we're ready for Avi's point, so if this is, you know, for the Rambam the case, nothing particularly special about achila, so then the bracha would probably reflect that, right? And that's going to be the really interesting thing to look at. When does one make the bracha? Now, we don't have to see the whole thing inside now because I don't want to rush it. But let's just think for a second together. I made the point that if one reads the Gemara, it's not just the various pu'ulos hagavra that are intrinsic to the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah, but teshvu kein taduru has to do with realigning one's dira, diras keva, and diras arai, reorienting them, flipping them around, inversion. So if that were true, and you really, really wanted to go to the hilt with that, let's just think about this to its logical extreme, and you say that's really the essence of mitzvah yeshiva besukkah, is establishing your sukkah as keva, degrading your bias to being arai. So what phenomenon, what might you might actually imagine this. Now, this is obviously not how we paskin, but in terms of the timing of the bracha. Levi, what should be the logical timing of that bracha?
Right before you, I would think, as soon as you switch over from your house to your sukkah, that should be it, the beginning of the chag.
And then when else?
I don't think ever else.
And where is that? You're absolutely right. Just tell me, where is that? Who says that?
It's in the Gemara.
That's the Havamin of the Gemara Memvav, right?
I can't remember who says it in the Gemara.
By Rishon Mivarech, Veshuvenu Mivarech.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what were they? What, were the person have an idea? You know, like where'd that come from? It was obviously based on, the pasuk says basukos teshu shivas yamim, but we don't really care what you're doing on day 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, because the element of the mitzvah that apparently, as Avi correctly says, look at the bracha, figure out what the mitzvah is, right? It should be a dead giveaway. The element of the mitzvah that we care about is the beginning of the mitzvah.
Yeah.
And so, Levi, that's absolutely right. So that Havamina is undoubtedly a reference to the notion, right, that creating the sukkah as a diras keva is the essential feature, the teshvu ke'en taduru, kelim noyim, malan lasukka, ashishos, vechosos, all of that. That's the mitzvah. That's the essential part of the mitzvah. That's when you should be mevarech. And, you know, that's it. And never again. Now, last point for today, because we'll take a look at the Gemara inside tomorrow. Anybody want to make a suggestion in terms of, you know, the entire first 10 minutes of Shir when we're reading the Psukim and trying to figure out? We had a little bit of a conundrum. It seemed like all of the mitzvos were backloaded. Dalad minim, ulkachtam lachem, and then basukos teshu, shivas yamim, kol ha'izrach b'Yisrael. And then we had this very bizarre... You know, Israel did a really good job in terms of getting us as far as the Korbanos, with the Pinchas problem, but we were just wondering, where does this come from? Chag HaSukkos, Tasa L'cha Shivas Yomim. So what do we know about that? Chag HaSukkos, Tasa L'cha Shivas Yomim. Daniel Dresner, what do we know? What do we know about that? That pasuk of Chag HaSukkos, Tasa L'cha Shivas Yomim is all about what? And maybe this is now going to be part of the answer in terms of parsing these psukim. So that's the second pasuk. But Chag HaSukkos, Tasa L'cha Shivas Yomim, Eitan?
Are you talking about Teshu Kein Taduru?
No, that's not the Teshu Kein Taduru. That Teshu Kein Taduru is... is at the end, right? We're talking about the initial introduction. Ben Sion?
I would say that that beginning is talking about the beginning of the Chag, establishing this Dira, and then the rest is over the course.
Bring me a Raya, of course that's what it is. So the second time, Masukos Teshvu, Shivas Yamim, maybe that relates to Yeshiva Sagavra, Kol HaEzrach B'Yisrael Yeshvu Basukos. Chag HaSukkos Tasa L'cha Shivas Yomim. That pasuk is the father of all of the halachos of what? You guys know this. Chag HaSukkos Tasa L'cha Shivas Yomim. Ilan? Tasa V'lomin Ha'asoy. Chag HaSukkos Tasa L'cha. Kechagiga damya, the dinim of mi'ila, noye sukkah, the construction of the sukkah. So it's really interesting. Maybe one way to make sense of the strange phenomenon in the psukim is to be mechalik between exactly this issue and the halacha. How much of this is about construction of the sukkah, and how much of it is defined by human activity in the sukkah. So we know what the Rambam did. He says, yeah, the makor is basukos teshu shivas yamim. And there are these two dinim, but I give primacy to the human activity. That's not the impression you have from the Gemara, but that's the way the Rambam formulates it. But chag HaSukkos tasa l'cha shivas yamim, detached, as Israel correctly noted, from the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah as we know it, by all of this intervening text and by summation of all the Moadim. So that pasuk is really the pasuk that gives us all of the halachos about construction of the sukkah. Vilomina asoy, and hat yashan, and sukkos kanbach. Chagiga, Eschach. So it could very well be that in Reni Torah Shabbichsav, we have a subtle allusion to these two dimensions. Establishing the sukkah, per se, Chagasukos Tasalacha Shivas Yamim, then the human activities in that sukkah. Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamim, two different psukim, two different sections broken up by the summation of all of the Moadim. Okay, so again, just to summarize and distill, we have a very complex series of psukim. The korbanos are magnified. We suggested that might be the special role of korbanos, highlighting the singular kedushas hayom of each and every day of Sukkos. We suggested at the end that it's possible that Chag HaSukkos and Basukos Teshu highlight two different dimensions of the mitzvah. One of them is the production of the sukkah, Teshu Kein Taduru, the establishment of the sukkah as your makom keva, the bias as your makom arai, the Rambam's inversion of that principle, and then different pu'ulos hagavra as essential to the mitzvah as well, two different aspects of the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, the Rambam giving primacy to the human dimension based on the pasuk of Basukos Teshvu Shivas Yamim, Kol Ha'ezrach v'Yisrael Yeshvu Basukos. In terms of the timing of the bracha, we already noted that there are various possibilities. Let's say, should it be Achila-centric? That would be a hard position to defend for the Rambam. It's in fact not the Rambam's position. Other Rishonim take that position. Should it be maybe at the very beginning, as Levi suggested correctly, the more that it's about establishing the sukkah as keva, so why don't you just time the bracha then, and that will be the only time that you make the bracha. That's a hava min already on daf memvav, and that's going to be a very, very important suggestion in its own right. So we've set the table so far in terms of what the different aspects to mitzvah are. Tomorrow we'll take a look exclusively at the question of bracha. We'll see how much more chavrusa time is necessary. And then we'll get into the question of limud basukka and how limud basukka is a very good test of the outer boundaries of human activity in the sukkah as opposed to elsewhere. What that tells us about sukkahs and what it tells us about Talmud Torah. So that's where, you know, all of this is going. Okay, so let's hold it up there. And God willing, we'll pick it up tomorrow at the same time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.